Welcome to Outside the Box with Ascendia USA, a podcast educating U.S.-based e-tailers on international shipping topics and how they can expand their global e-commerce footprint.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining Outside the Box with Ascendia. I'm here with my co-host, Nick Agnetti. Nick, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I haven't seen you in like 10 minutes, but I guess we're good.
Too long. It's been too long. You said 10 minutes, yeah.
All right, fine. This is going to be our fourth installment of this podcast, right?
Yes.
So we're going to talk about the challenges that our e-commerce shippers are seeing with the top three, I guess we would say, what, markets?
Yeah, I think officially
Go ahead, give the official title.
Challenges in cross-border shipping to the top three e-commerce markets.
You read that from something, didn't you?
I couldn't tell you. Listener would never know.
Okay.
That's for sure.
They I don't know. I don't.
A viewer may know, but a listener will never know.
Wow. So when we're talking about them, what are they? What are the three in order? Let's go. I had an order, but you have a different one.
Give me yours. Go ahead.
I think Canada.
Yeah.
I'll say UK.
Yep.
Australia.
Yes. So when we look at a US-based podcast, US-based logistics company, when we're talking from the perspective of top three e-commerce markets for us,
right,
it is those three countries, you know, by far. If we were to look at a worldwide list, it's going to change a little bit. But for, you know, for the listeners and for everybody else, we're focused here, obviously, at Ascendia USA on U.S. outbound. And that's where our perspective and our thoughts and what we're going to be discussing today is coming from, which is, again, focused on Canada, Australia, and then U.K. And I kind of messed up my own order there, didn't I?
It's okay.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm fine with it.
Okay, good.
So just thinking about those three countries, they're the largest trading partners, right?
For sure.
So there is some, each country presents some unique challenges, some great opportunities, right? Do you want to cover Canada first and go through that first, or do you want to go through one of the other countries first?
Yeah, no. I want a blanket statement that anytime, we don't focus so much on, I guess I'd say more, we rarely have conversations with what I'd consider more of a startup brand. But if I'm at a show or somewhere and somebody comes up to me and says, you know, if I want to start expanding internationally, you know, where do I want to go? First answer, don't miss a beat, Canada,
right?
But if you look at UK, Australia, and Canada, what's one of the things that they all have in common? They're all English speaking. Okay. So if you're going to be, if you're a US seller, and you're going to expand internationally, I would highly suggest you focus on English speaking countries. It's going to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah. It was funny. I was doing some research before we got on the call and I was noticing they're the top three countries in sustainability and their customers are very focused on, you know, environmentally sound companies like ourselves who are carbon neutral and up to, you know, one of the leaders in the sustainability in our industry. But I found that surprising. In the fact that a lot of the customers are, I would think that most of your younger demographic, but most buyers in all three of these countries are very concerned about that. That's one thing that I noticed.
Yeah. I don't think that surprises me, especially any European country, UK, you know, and I know that Canada is a very, very diverse country. I don't think that surprises me as, you know, too much.
So when we, just to pivot, when we talk about, let's talk about Canada a little bit more. So from a customer's perspective, we were also talking about size and scope of customers a couple minutes ago. And I wouldn't think any of the challenges are different from anybody else, depending on their size or sales. So what do you think are some of the top things that you saw? I know you have a couple large customers using us for Canada, direct into Canada. So is there anything specifically that comes to mind?
Yeah. Yeah. So just a clarification for listeners out there, Canada Direct refers to our EPEX Select Canada Direct Access Network. If you go back a couple episodes, well, actually the last episode would be 2 and 3, really. We focused heavily on our, you know, what, you know, it's Canada, right, is the title of the podcast, and really why is Canada so important? Focus on, you know, we had our guest, special guest Dave Mays on to talk about the Canada Direct Access, which is our fully optimized Ascendia network access. So I just wanted to bring highlight to when you said Canada Direct, what that referred to. But just going back to your question, there's challenges with each country when I think some people find it daunting because there's different tax rules all throughout, especially if we're going to focus today on Canada UK and Australia, there are different tax rules with different, what they call de minimis values, different thresholds and different collection and remittance requirements from each country.
Right.
And I think for some people that are, you know, very strategy focused, hey, we're focused on growing this business, we're focused on, you know, doing this, they don't say, you know, forget it, I'm just going to focus on domestic. But it's not, it does, it's not that bad. It's not that hard. It's just a matter of being knowledgeable in those areas.
Yeah, that's a good topic, because the other thing that was important to most clients was they didn't like hidden fees.
Oh, yeah.
They liked to see everything they could see in the viewing in the shopping cart of what it was going to cost before they purchased it.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, from what I saw, was they would not make a final, they wouldn't make the final purchase so they could actually see all the costs. So if they, if you had a site like a retailer didn't offer that, they would move to another site fairly quickly.
It's a great point. I mean, think about your own personal life.
Yeah.
You're not going to sign anything unless you know all the details, right? You're not going to do anything unless you know everything that's involved. And I think for any shopper, even for myself shopping at a US-based business online, which I and definitely my wife do plenty of, would be something where you want to know exactly what's involved. I think more if we just break it down for the listener, is talking about, you know, we're referring to is a landed cost solution and looking at, you know, being able to highlight what the applicable or associated taxes and duties are for a specific, you know, transaction.
Yeah. The one thing that seems to come up for most buyers or shippers, I guess, is the minimus, as you say, in Canada is very low.
Yes.
So that presents some challenges, either a postal solution or a courier solution, right? So we see a lot of customers like to go to a courier solution. But in some cases, it may not be based on their weight or size, whatever they're shipping.
Yeah.
But Canada's got some rules that are a little bit different from other countries, right?
Yeah, big time. And let's talk about it. I just want to highlight de minimis value is a Latin-based phrase, which refers to, you know, something being below, you know, the level of being levied taxes or duties.
You brought up the Latin term?
I mean,
okay. All right.
I don't know what to say. We have video right now.
I didn't know that. I learned something.
Okay. So, yes, it's Latin.
Is it pig Latin or Latin?
Let's move forward.
Is it pig Latin or Latin?
I think it's regular Latin. I believe it's just regular Latin.
It's very interesting.
I'm not sure the different types of Latin. So, let's regroup. Okay. So, going back to Canada, you were right. It has a low de minimis value. And what we mean by that, and we're going to go back even further to what you're saying, is there's differences between a postal clearance and a commercial clearance.
Right.
And that actually changes the de minimis value, which can be very confusing for your everyday shipper if they're not well-versed in that. So, I mean, you know, we know that if you're doing a postal shipment into Canada, the de minimis value is what, 20 Canadian?
Yep. Yep.
And then if you're meaning anything under 20 Canadian, you will not pay duty or tax. Anything over 20 Canadian up to 150 Canadian, you'll pay the applicable tax based on the destination province. Anything over 150, you pay duty and tax.
Yep.
Now for commercial, the 20 goes up to 40.
Right.
And right now with the conversion rates, currency conversion rates,
it's $26 US.
It's rough.
It's rough.
For 40, I think last time I checked, I'm not trying to correct you at all, but it was 29.65. Okay. I mean, hey, you know, getting specific here. But and then when we get up to the 150, I think it was around 118 or something like that.
Yeah,
it's real low. It's just a crazy conversion. So what we mean by that, though, is that if you're sending in, let's say, you know, a pair of socks, and the socks are, you know, 21 US, right? Something like that. The reality is you could very well be assessed taxes based on the destination province, whether you ship something postal, but 100% if you're going to ship it in via commercial entry, or nothing if you're going in commercial entry. Okay. Now, anything over that, obviously. So if you ship something that has $50 US value, you can see the difference there, assessed based on postal, commercial, you know, you'd definitely be assessed there.
I think Dave covered that, some of that. Hopefully this, what you're saying clears, you know, explains even more if you didn't catch our last couple
for
podcasts,
sure.
But that is a big part of the Canada I wouldn't say challenge, but it's one of the things you have to deal with as a shipper. And your customers have to understand that because it's very difficult to know what you're actually paying for.
100%. And it's a very, I think we've got a lot of ground to cover here. Who knows what our production team's going to cut this down to? Maybe nothing. You never know. But we're gonna go ahead and keep moving here.
Well, they definitely cut in the Latin.
Quite
frankly, but that's okay.
Whew, okay, so
what do you want to talk about? UK next.
Well, hold on. We have to finish with Canada. Canada, UK, Australia, English speaking. Okay, so there's very little challenge with that. Canada, though, if you look at it as a landmass, it's a huge country. Right. So when you're looking at where you're if you're a shipper, if you're a mid-market or even enterprise level shipper, and you have multiple warehouse locations, if you're going to come in from what they call West Coast induction, you're looking at stuff coming in up in the Calgary, maybe Vancouver area. East Coast is most likely going to be going in through Toronto, and so. What that means, you have to manage transit expectations and expectations for the customer in terms of when they expect delivery and what, type of services and everything that you're going to provide to be able to meet those expectations.
So I know you deal a lot of 3PL. So just recently, like to your point, convincing the customer, hey, please move that West Coast inventory to Calgary. You can save some additional CAC savings on the PST going into British Columbia. Also you would benefit because what I think I just had a couple, I think it was like 70% of the volume was East, coming out of Toronto. It was
a
2 or 3 day transit,
65% or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a big deal. And to the point here is we also can do intra-Canada. If you have facilities in Canada, we can do the same thing for you intra-Canada. You bring up some valid points about that. So,
all right. So Canada is as of, I think it was December 2023, so ninth largest e-commerce market in the world, about $44 billion in e-commerce going in and out of Canada, whether that's, intra-Canada, cross-border Canada, $44 billion is the market size. So do we put the stamp of approval on it to say that you should be shipping to Canada? Absolutely. I don't have a stamp, but I'm going to tell my production team that maybe I should have one for some weird segment. But anyway, let's go to the UK.
So one last thing on Canada.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was the other thing I was thinking about on Canada? Is that, what is that number? 85% of the people live 100 miles?
Yes.
That's it. That's an amazing stat that they don't live that 100
miles
from the
US border. Yeah.
So if you're thinking about that market, it's a pretty saturated in high density areas, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, as a native born and raised Metro Detroiter, Detroit Lions fan. Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Edit that out for sure. So Canada is, to me, it's like, when you go over to Windsor, it'd take you 45 minutes. You know what I mean? So that's, to me, it's like it never was really a thing, but I can look at other people talk, when I talk to them and it's an actual topic of conversation. Oh, to Canada? And I'm like, Canada. I'm like, yeah, people come from Canada to go to church in Detroit. You know what I mean? It's a real thing. So, okay, let's pivot.
Be sure to come back April 17th for part two of this podcast.
We'll continue the conversation, discuss shipping to the UK and Australia. Thanks for listening.
If you want to support our podcast, the number one thing you can do is share it on your social media and tag Ascendia.
That helps us get the word out, and we really appreciate it.
Be sure to subscribe and download our podcast. If you want to learn more about today's topic, email us at ecommerce.usa@ascendia.com and check back frequently for new discussions on e-commerce shipping to Canada and worldwide.